storms yet again. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 through 27. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If not, say wait. Amen. I'll read aloud and you can read along silently, beloved. And scripture reads this way, beginning in verse number 18. It says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my Father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. You might say he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof fade away, but the word of God shall never pass away. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. Beloved, I want to talk once again about storms. This is the place where the cloud has stopped, and the Lord has had us parked here for now the second week, talking about storms. Last week, beloved, we talked about that storm that comes about when you're following after your want to, not following after the divine wisdom of God. And sometimes those storms come up because we do the things that we want to do, not necessarily the things that we know we ought to do. The scripture tells us that when we do those things, sometimes that storm, as we talked about on last week, it said you gained the harm in the things that come along with that storm. Why? Because the only reason you're here is because you want to. You got here because you wanted to do this when God told you to do that. You wanted to do this when you knew better that you shouldn't do this, but rather should do that. So some of those storms, some of our storms in life, beloved, we arrive at that place, and we arrive at that place of trial and tribulation and calamity in our lives simply because instead of doing the thing that we needed to do, we did the thing that we wanted to do. And somebody say, I wanted to. And so on this week, beloved, we want to talk about storms again. But, beloved, I want to talk to you this week about a different type of storm. I want to talk to you about the sudden storm. The sudden storm. And beloved, I want you to know it's important that at the end of the day, we know what's needed for us to survive the sudden storm. See, sometimes that storm that we see coming from a mile away, we can do something at least to prepare ourselves for it before it gets there. But when that sudden storm comes up, that sudden storm comes about all at once. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't counting on it. It's a sudden storm. I wasn't prepared for it. And when that sudden storm comes, it doesn't matter how hard the winds are. The fact is that it's sudden is the thing that really catches me off guard, because I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't looking for that, Sister Bridget. It came up out of nowhere, that sudden storm. But the Bible says that as Christians, we deal with, no matter what kind of storm, we deal with all the storms the same way. All right? The want-to storm, it's okay. Yeah, you got here because you wanted to. God's going to deliver you still the same. Yeah. And this storm, what I want you to see about this storm, beloved, is I want you to see that the people of God were with God and a storm still came up. You see, that you are not exempt from storms just because you come to church every Sunday. You're not exempt from storms just because you tithe regularly. You're not exempt from storms just because you come to Bible study, call yourself a Christian. You're not exempt from storms. You might have great anointing on your life, but it still does not exempt you from storms. That's why the scripture tells us we are in this world, but we're not of this world. Because we are of God, we are endowed with the grace of God, empowered by the anointing of God, filled with the Spirit of God, but we are still in this world. And there are some things, beloved, that in this world that you are just not going to be able to avoid. They are called sudden storms. Sudden storms. Let's begin here in verse number 18. Beloved, he begins here in verse number 18. I like what he says. There's a conversation going on. He's been healing. He's been talking. He's been teaching. He's been doing all of those things that he was sent forth to do. But the Bible says that towards the end of the day, he says, when he saw the multitudes about him, the scripture says that he gave command to depart to the other side. To the other side. I want you to be clear about this, beloved. The other side, that's where your stuff is, on the other side. That's where your stuff is, on the other side. See, there's going to always come a time, beloved, in your walk, in your Christian experience, that in order for you to get the thing that God has set before you, there are some stuff that's on the other side. You've gotten everything you can get on this side, but in order to get the rest of it, you've got to go to the other side. Yeah, you've been comfortable in your Christian existence, in your showing up for church, in your doing of good deeds, but God says there's some greater things for you, but in order to get them, you've got to go to the other side. Yeah, that deliverance you've been looking for, I want to get it to you, and if you'll go to the other side, it'll be there waiting for you. But in order for you to get it, you've got to go to the other side. Let somebody say, I want to go to the other side. Yeah. Your stuff is on the other side. Your blessing is on the other side. Your deliverance is on the other side. Your breakthrough is on the other side. Your prosperity is on the other side. The grace of God is on the other side. Your anointing is on the other side. Your destiny is on the other side. Somebody say, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. Christ says, he says now, he gave the command that they should prepare to depart to the other side. And now watch this, beloved. He says now, as he gave the command, he said that there was a scribe who came unto him and said, Master, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. He declared to that scribe, he said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And then there was another of his disciples who declared, he said, Lord, I'll go with you, but suffer me to go home and bury my father first. And Jesus declared unto him, he said, now, come and follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Both of those statements might seem a bit insensitive coming from Jesus the Christ, the one who is leading, the one who has called them to follow after him. But beloved, now watch this as we go to the next verse. He says in the next verse, he says, now as he had given the command and as they had come unto him, he says now, as he entered into a ship, he says his disciples followed him. His disciples followed him. And in Mark's version of this, Mark said that there were other little ships that went along with him. And so the scripture says that there were many, even here it indicates that there were many other ships. And so when Jesus entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. See, we talked about that this morning in Sunday school. We talked about that unctioning to follow after. It doesn't matter which one of these ships he enters into. When Jesus entered into the ship, it said his disciples prepared themselves to follow him. Let's talk about this word disciple, beloved. The Bible describes a disciple this way. It says it's someone who is taught of a teacher. And having been taught of the teacher, the scripture says they're not just taught, but learning happens. And as they've learned, now they have applied those things that they've learned in their lives. He says their adherence to the word. See, these are those now who have learned the word of God and being not just hearers but doers of the word. They've applied that very word in application in the manner in which they live their lives. They're disciples. And now watch this, beloved. He says now, and the one that taught them is the one now that has their loyalty. Oh, I wish I had somebody right now. See, because here's what the scripture says about these disciples. These disciples. What does the scripture say? Jesus said it this way. He says, he said unto those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so what does he say? He said, if you continue in my word. But before that, beloved, this is important because we've got to get to the continuing. He said, before that, he said to the Jews that believed on him. I wish I had somebody right there. Let's talk about this right here. He said, they believed on him. They believed on him. To believe means to be persuaded by something or someone. He said, they believed on him. Before they even believed in his word, they believed on him. See, beloved, don't waste so much time trying to learn scripture and memorize scripture. No, your time is much better spent believing on him. Don't waste a lot of time trying to compare yourself with others who seem to be able to quote scriptures at the drop of a dime. No, your time, beloved, is better spent trusting on him. See, because if you can trust on him, then it makes it a lot easier for you to trust in his word. See, until I get to the place where I can trust on him, it doesn't matter that his word tells me that I'm greater than a conqueror. When I'm faced now with opposition, when I want to now have that word work for me, that word won't work for me because now it is in the face of opposition where I have to be able to rely on my trust on him. He said, he told them, he said, if you believe on me, he said, and you continue in my word, continue. He said, don't just believe on me, but as you believe on me, as I've taught you my word, he said, continue in my word. This word continue means to abide, to abide, to abide. He said, stay there. He said, stay there, dwell there, dwell there. And this word, beloved, this word here that is used, it's the same word that's in Romans chapter 10. The word here is not logos, it actually means rhema. It's rhema. See, the logos is that which holds everything in place. But that rhema is that word that ministers just to you. Yeah. But beloved, I want you to, every time you come into the house of God, every time the word of God is going forth, there should be a longing for, there should be a hungering for, there should be a desire on your part to hear the rhema. I don't care what everybody else heard, I heard a rhema. I don't care what everybody else heard, I came in here this morning and I wanted God to talk just to me. Lord, I need a word. Yeah, I know I'm the pastor, but I need a word for me. Yeah, because if I can't get a word for me that I can hold on to motivate me and give me the strength to go on, how can I ever be expected to lead such a greater people as yours? Lord, talk to me. Talk to me in the morning. Talk to me in the noonday. Talk to me in the evening. Lord, talk to me. I need a rhema word. Somebody say, I want a rhema. I want a rhema. He said, if you'll grab hold of this rhema, see, that's your motivation right there. See, because the rhema didn't speak to you like it spoke to this person over here, and the rhema didn't speak to him like it spoke to her. Why? Because I wanted a word for my situation. Ain't nobody else going to understand what I'm going through, but God understands. And because he understands, I have such a relationship with him that he cares so much about me that he talks right to me. And so he said, if you'll stay with that rhema that you got, if you'll stay right there, don't give up on that. If you'll stay right there, he said, you'll be my disciples indeed, and thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Your reception of that rhema was the beginning of your deliverance, because he says, if you'll stay there, if you'll abide, you'll know the truth. See, here's the thing you need to understand about disciples, beloved. Disciples are those who find their identity in Christ. Yeah, my identity now, I'm so connected with the teacher that I've come to trust, that I've come to have an allegiance with, have a loyalty to. I'm so connected with him that I'm connected also with his cause. Whatever he's interested in, that's what I'm interested in. His will becomes my will. His way becomes my way. The thing that he's teaching me, I'm grabbing hold to it, and I'm not even giving it time to settle. I'm applying it right away. Why? Because he's told me if I'll do it. See, beloved, that's why it's important to trust him. See, because if I trust him, I'll receive his word, and I won't sit around and debate with it. I'll receive his word, and I won't need anybody else to come and confirm it. No, I'll receive his word, and when I get it, I'll run with it. I won't get it and stand on it. I'll get it, and I'll run with it. Huh. And so what does all this have to do with getting to the other side? Well, watch this, beloved. Watch this as he talks now to the disciples. He said, as soon as he gave the commandment, one of them came to him and said, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll follow you wheresoever you go. I'll follow you. And this is it, beloved. Watch this. He said, you need to continue. In order for you to be free, you need to continue. In order for you to be free, you have to grab hold of that rhema, be convicted by it, and continue. You have to be resolved. I'm not going to stop because God said, if I would continue, I can have my stuff. Somebody say, I want my stuff. I continue. But he says here, beloved, he says, this being a disciple, this is much more than coming to church. Oh, this being a disciple, this goes way beyond religion. Oh, this being a disciple, this goes far beyond paying your tithe. See, he said, this being a disciple, this is not just making a decision to come to church. This is a life decision. Did I say something that offended you? Did I say something that ran contrary to your going to church? Did I? I hope I did. Why? Because this is a life decision, beloved. We come in here not to come to church, but we are the body of believers. We come together to praise a God who's worthy of our praise. We come together to have corporate worship. That's the reason why I'm here. I don't know why you came to the house today, but I came to praise God. I came to worship God, not for what he did for me today, but what he did for me yesterday, and what I have expectation for tomorrow and the day after, because I trust him. I trust him. So what does he say? He cautions him. He said, you need to know this is a life decision. It's a life decision. We're not just looking for converts, but after you've been converted, he said, I'm looking to make you a disciple. Disciple, that's what I'm looking for. And so the first one, he says, I'll follow you wheresoever you go. He said, but you need to understand this. He says, foxes have holes. And the birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man, he doesn't have any place to lay his head. He said, once you make this life decision, once you determine you're going to be a disciple, once you determine you're going to go with me to the other side, once you determine that my cause is going to be your cause, once you determine that my will is going to be your will, once you determine that my way is going to be your way, once you determine that I'm going to be Lord and you're going to take a seat and let me do the driving, once you make that decision, he said, beloved, he said, you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone. I wish I had somebody. See, the fox has a home. The birds have a nest. But the Son of Man, he's got to walk away from the comforts of this life. Because there's nothing in this life that can capture my attention when I'm following after God. The Bible says sometimes us following after God, we're hindered in that because we don't want to be inconvenienced. Yeah, I don't want to let go of that pillow in the morning. I don't want to leave the comfort of my home. I don't know where you're going. He says, so before you make the decision to follow after me, you need to understand you're going to have to walk away from some worldly conveniences. Yeah. going to have to walk away from worldly comforts. The things that you've been sure about in the world, that you're going to have to be willing to walk away from them. When he called Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, you got to leave your country. You got to leave your kinfolk. You got to leave your father's house. You got to leave your nice warm bed. And you've got to be determined to follow me. Yeah. He said, and I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, but I can assure you I'm going to be there with you. And when you get there, it's going to be better than what you gave up. I wish I had somebody. See, beloved, it's easy to get up out of the bed in the morning when I know that what I'm going to get when I get to the house is better. Yeah, it's easy for me to get on that highway and drive down the road when I know that when I get there, whatever I get is going to be better. And it's not just going to be any kind of word. It's going to be that rhema I've been praying about. That rhema I've been seeking after. That rhema I've been longing for. That rhema, that word that's going to change my life. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. It's on the other side. Now watch this. He says to the other one, the other one said, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. Now on the surface, this might seem really insensitive. But I want you to understand here, beloved, his father's not dead. He ain't dead yet. But he said, it's my responsibility to take care of my father who is aging. And if I will take care of my responsibility to my father who is aging, when my father dies, when I bury him, I get everything that he had. What did he say? He said, if you're going to follow me to the other side, he said, you've got to, your spiritual responsibility has to be greater than any earthly responsibility you have. He said, it's got to be. He said, when you decide to follow after me, he said, you might have to forsake some of your soul ties. Huh? He said, you might have to forsake some of your earthly responsibilities. Why? Because you have a greater responsibility. He said, so consider these things when you make the decision to follow me, to follow me, to follow me. You might say, I'm going to follow anyway. I'm going to follow anyway. I'm determined to follow him. Yeah, I'm determined to go after. I'm determined that neither hell nor high water can keep me away from my stuff on the other side. Well, the scripture said when he stepped into the boat, his true disciples followed after him. Yeah, the ones who had an excuse, they turned and went the other way. But the true disciples followed after him. Are there any disciples in the house? I want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. Are there any disciples in the house? If there are any disciples in the house, somebody needs to shout glory in the house. Just let me know I'm talking to the right people. I think I'm talking to the right people, minister. I think I am. And so now watch this. Watch, beloved. Watch what happened when they got in the boat. The scripture says, behold. I'm always suspicious when I see this word, behold. Because now, beloved, and what it says is, he said, don't get too excited. Hold on. Don't, but before you get too excited, he said, hold on. He said, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now hold on to that, beloved, because that's coming back at you. I want you to take note of that. It's in the sea. Somebody say it's in the sea. There arose a great tempest in the sea. And then he said, and inasmuch as the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Somebody say he was sleeping. He was sleeping. Now watch this, beloved. And now we're going to park here for just a second, and then we're going to move on. Watch this, beloved. He said now, in this place, he said it arose in the sea. But this sea was actually a lake. It was actually a lake, but it is the Sea of Galilee. That's what it's called. Some other places it's called the Sea of Tiberias. But it's actually a lake because the Bible tells us, it goes on to describe this lake in this region, that it was a very shallow lake, less than 200 feet deep. It was a very shallow lake. But the scripture said that it was something unique about the positioning of the lake. It set about 600 feet below sea level. And it was surrounded by a high mountainous region. See, this sea was in a valley. Somebody say it's in a valley. It's in a valley. It's in a valley. Now watch this, beloved. And so because it was in a valley, the scripture said that there arose a great tempest. This word tempest here, it actually means winds. It's not just a wind. See, last week we talked about a wind. It was an east wind and it was a west wind. But he said, these are winds. Somebody say winds. Winds. He said, these are winds. And these winds are so strong. And the Bible says, and because of the positioning of the lake, when these winds begin to blow, these winds were not always in agreement with one another. So he said, now, when contrasting winds begin to grow, what would happen is there would be such a swirl around in that valley that it would create a funnel. This word tempest actually means cyclone. It means hurricane. It means tornado. It means earthquake. It means a great gale of wind. But this is not just any wind. These are winds. See, beloved, there are those times in our lives where it's not just one wind. But I could probably handle the one wind. But it's when I get those multiple winds that they really begin to wreak havoc in my life. Everything is uprooted because it's multiple winds. I got wind over here and wind over there and trouble over here and trouble over there. Trouble never seems to end. And once that door was open, it was like a floodgate was open. Yeah. And I can't see any way out. He says it was a great tempest. Somebody said it was a great storm. It was a great storm. He said, but it was many winds in the sea. And it was the winds that were so in contrast as they turned. And the funnel was created. It created now waves. And the waves were so high that they covered the ship. This word covered, it means to, remember this, it's coming back. It means to hide. It means to conceal. And so, beloved, let me share this with you, and then we'll move on, but let me drop this here. See, sometimes your trouble can be so much so that you don't see what's behind it. Because the waves now are so high, it's really hiding what's behind it. Huh. The trouble that you see right in front of you is not caused by the thing that you see. It's caused by something that was behind it. The energy that's been moved there to cause the wave is an energy that is provided by something behind it. Somebody say, I can't see it, but I know it's there. I know it's there. And so the scripture says, as the waves raised up, it covered the ship, but Jesus was asleep. Was asleep. Now, why was he asleep? The scripture says it this way. He says that if we're walking in the wisdom of God, if God has given us a rhema, I've received that rhema. I'm holding on to that rhema. I'm a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. I'm committed to his will and to his way. If I'm walking in the wisdom and in the way of God, the Bible said that as a child of God, I react differently to those storms when they arrive. And here's the thing about this storm. Because it was in the valley, it could be sunshine one minute. And all of a sudden, the storms are raging. Yeah, this is that sudden storm we're talking about. It could be sunshine 5 minutes ago, but 5 minutes later, the clouds have come in. Yeah, the storm is raging. The rain is pouring down. I was okay yesterday. See, beloved, that's why there has to be an assurance and a confidence and a surety about the things of God and what God has called you to. Why? Because when the sudden storms come up, God is trusting you to be who you have told him you are. See, you can't put all the responsibility on him. See, you have professed a good profession. And so when the sudden storm rose up, it should not catch the child of God off guard. Yeah, everybody else might be caught off guard, but I'm not caught off guard. Everybody else might be tossed to and fro in the storm, but I'm not. Why? Because I'm rooted in the word of God. Yeah. My soul has been anchored. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trusting in his word because I trusted him first. Yeah. So he says in his word, he says the true disciple, the true believer, he says there'll come a time when if you're walking in the wisdom and the way of the Lord, he says your way shall be safe. You'll be able to walk safely in your way. And he said, and your foot shall not stumble. And he said, and thou shalt lie down and not be afraid. In fact, he said, and yea, when thou lay down, he said, your sleep shall be sweet. So let's look at Jesus. All hell is broken loose, and so much so that it's shaken the disciples, those who have committed to follow after him. Even them, it's shaken them. They thought if they got in the boat with him, there was not going to be any more storm. But watch what happened along the way. A sudden storm rose up. But Christ said, now is the time for you to be who you said you were. Now is the time for there should be an appearance and a manifestation of all those things you've been shouting about in church. All those things you've been talking about in church. Today is the day that you stand up and take control. Yeah. 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 You've been quoting this scripture, great is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Today is the day that you have to be real. Yeah, that has to be real in your life. That has to be real. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, do you trust it? Yeah. 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 Those sudden storms. You didn't have time to prepare for this. You didn't have time to get some scriptures in you. Yeah. You didn't have time to look to your left and look to your right to see what your neighbor was doing. You didn't have time to fake your hallelujah. All you had time to do was to be. I wish I had somebody. Wish I had somebody. He said, you just got to be who you profess to be. He said, and he says, I'm asleep because I know who I am. I know who I am. In fact, he says, I know whose I am. And so not only am I asleep, but it's a sweet slumber. Somebody say it's sweet sleep. See, sometimes, beloved, our storms can rage so great in our lives that instead of looking for a breakthrough, sometimes I just settle for a good night's sleep. I ain't had a good night's sleep in months. Sometimes your trouble can be so much so that you're just wishing for the day to end, yeah? So that I can lay down and go to sleep. And I pray to God that when I wake up in the morning, it's all gone. It ain't going nowhere. The things you won't confront, you'll never be able to conquer. You've got to deal with it. But God says there's a way for the people of God to deal with it. He says there's a way. And so as he deals with them, the Bible says that his first question to them, he says, why are you so fearful? Yeah. Yeah. Before we set out, he said, I thought I explained myself to you. That this was not going to be easy. Yeah. Before we set out to get to the other side, I thought I made it clear that this was your destiny. Before you even got in the boat, I thought I made it clear that you and I were going to have to drink from the same cup today. Yeah. Yeah. He said, but now that you're in, he said, I need you to be who you profess to be. That's who I need you to be. And so he said, well, so why are you so fearful? And then he said, O ye of little faith. Of little faith. He said, you got a puny faith. There's a puny faith. But now watch this, beloved, because he didn't say they didn't have any faith. Mustard seed. So a mustard seed is puny faith. So if I got puny faith, why is it I'm still struggling with this sudden storm? Can I get a witness? I know how you need to have someone real to look at. So let's call upon Brother Peter. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 14 said Brother Peter said there was the Lord had sent them out into the sea and a storm, a great tempest arose. The Bible says that Jesus came out from the land and walked upon water out to where they were. Yeah. And they saw him walking on water and thought he was a ghost. Yeah. But the Bible said that brought Peter, being inquisitive as he was, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Yeah. The scripture said, now watch this, beloved, I want you to be, if you challenge God, be careful what you ask for. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. The Lord said, come on. Come on. See, somebody, you've been trying to make deals with God. You've been trying to bargain with God. You've even told God, Lord, if you get me out of this one, I'll never do that again. He said, come on. Lord, if you deliver me out of this, I'll never be in this place again. He said, come on. So don't challenge me. Don't challenge me. Don't challenge me. He said, come on. And the Bible said that Brother Peter stepped out of the boat. And Brother Peter walked on water. Okay. But behold, he said, the moment he saw the storm, the winds boisterous. The moment he saw the winds boisterous. See, because if you ever look at your problem and your problem looms large, larger than your God, now you got a problem. Now you got a problem, because before it was a storm, but now it's got you. Now, he said, when he saw the storm, the wind boisterous, he said, then at that point he said, beginning to fall in. He said now, he cried out, Lord, save us. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And the scripture says that immediately. He didn't wait. Said immediately. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and pulled him up. And what did he say? He said, O ye of little faith, why did thou doubt? See, there you go. So what's the message, beloved? It's not enough to have faith. It's not enough to believe. But because of your relationship with God, there's a trust in him, and it gives you now the confidence that dispels doubt. Yeah, see, I can stay in faith because I trust in him. Yeah. When Abraham hoped against hope, it wasn't, Abraham could not see himself doing the things God wanted him to do, just from a physical standpoint. Neither could he see his wife bringing forth children. But the scripture said he hoped against hope, being fully persuaded that he who had promised. See, beloved, you always have to keep your eye on God. See, because if you put your eye on people, people going to always disappoint you. See, if we're looking at this thing from a worldly perspective, we'll always be looking at it expecting a worldly result. But God said, I don't walk that way. Yeah. I'm the supernatural. I'm not the natural. I don't do anything natural. I do everything super. Yeah. That's why when you ask me to bless you, he said, I do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. Well, if you're asking God to bless you, you better expect God to bless you super. He ain't going to just bless you a little bit. It's going to be a super blessing, super anointing, super blessing, super grace, super prosperity, super deliverance, super fight, super courage, super victory. Somebody say, God don't do anything natural. He's a super God. He's a super God. He's a super God. He's a super God. And so now watch this, beloved. And so now the scripture says, and so his disciples, somebody say his disciples. His disciples. See, that's one thing about you make that decision. When he expects some sense of responsibility from you, and he's never going to waver on his responsibility to you. Even when you become faithless, he's still faithful. Because he's not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he'll do it. Yeah. And so he says, when his disciples came to him and they awoke him, and what they said to him, they said, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, Now, before we get to what he said, beloved, I want you to understand this. He said, Lord, save us, we perish. Lord, save us, we perish. Watch what this word perish means. Perish means now to cause to destroy. I'm not destroyed yet, but I'm headed for destruction. I wish I had somebody. He said, this storm hasn't killed me yet, but it's getting pretty close. He said, I haven't completely given up yet, but I'm about to give up. Yeah. I haven't reached that place where I think it would be better for me to take my own life, but I'm about to get there. I'm not overcome by depression, but I'm having a hard time dealing with things in the place of my mind. Why? Because these winds came up on me pretty suddenly, and I wasn't prepared to deal with them, and they've overcome me. He said, we perish. But now watch this, beloved. I want you to understand this. They were exactly where they needed to be. Here's the scripture. What does the scripture say? The scripture says, it's for this cause that we faint not. See, because the disciple now has given up his cause, and the cause of Jesus has become his cause. And so Paul says, it's for this cause that we faint not. He said, so in this storm, in my trial, in my tribulation, he said, my outward man perish. Huh? I wish I had somebody get with me right there. He said, my outward man is perishing. He said, but my inward man is renewed day by day. He said, so for this light affliction, now watch this, watch what he says. He said, even that storm has a time limit on it. He said, for this light affliction, it's but for a moment. But watch what it's doing in that moment. It's working in you. I wish I had somebody. And what is working in you is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If the outer you is perishing, you're right where you need to be. Yeah. Because you're being strengthened on the inside. Yeah. Thank God for the storms. Thank God for the storms. Because I'm being strengthened on the inside. Thank God for the storm. Because my outer man is perishing. Thank God for the storm. Because I'm giving up on my confidence in myself. Yeah. I'm coming out of my comfort zone. And I'm headed into the victory zone. I wish I had somebody. I'm coming out of my comfort zone. And I'm headed into the boat. And I'm prepared to go to the other side. That's where I'm going. He says, come on, because you're exactly where you need to be. He said, just trust me. He said, oh, ye of little faith. He said, just trust me. And then watch what happened, beloved. He said, then he stood up. You might say, uh-oh. See, when you're following after God, when the enemy comes, yeah, he'll stand up for you. He said, then he stood up. He said, and when he stood up, the Bible says that he then rebuked the winds. Rebuked the winds. We almost gone. He rebuked the winds. Now watch this, beloved. Now watch what we talked about earlier. We talked about when this storm came up, this great tempest. It said it was contrasting winds. And it was these winds now converging on one another. And because these winds were contrary to the wind of God, it caused now such a force. Being down in the valley, there was a funnel created, and it was a sudden storm. The scripture calls it a quail. It was a quail. And so the Bible says that before Jesus does anything else, he stands up and he rebukes the winds. The winds. So what are those winds? What are those winds? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says it this way. He said, from this day forward, when you get in the ship, when you make it over to the other side, he said, from henceforth, thou shalt no more be like children. He says, when you're in that storm, and that storm is coming on you like that, it'll cause you to grow up real fast. Yeah. He said, from henceforth, you shall no more be like children, tossed to and fro. and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now watch this, beloved, because this word wind here is the same as the word for tempest that we used before. It means now many winds, and it means now air in motion. He said there are winds that are in motion. And he said the reason why you're having to endure this great tempest is because of the doctrines that you're allowed to have place in your life. Well, what is doctrine? The doctrine are the things that you believe. The doctrines are the things that you trust to be true. The doctrines are the things that you've been taught. And if that doctrine is not the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it's a contrary wind. Oh, I wish I had somebody. See, the storms are raging because you've been not a disciple of Christ. You've been a disciple of the world. See, the storms are raging because you've been accepting the doctrine of man. The storms are raging because you've been trusting man. You've been trusting worldly things. You've been trusting worldly resources. That's why the storms are raging, because you've been following after the wrong doctrine. Yeah. And he said, and that doctrine has been tossing you to and fro. I believe God one day. Tomorrow, I believe something else. It's just whoever gets to me first in the morning, that's what I'm going to believe today. And whoever sounds good today, that's who I'm going to believe today. He said, grow up. Grow up. Stop being children. Take some authority. And he said, the first thing that you have to do is rebuke those false doctrines. I've been believing in religion. Rebuke it. Yeah. I've been believing in a man. Rebuke it. I've been believing in my own resources. Rebuke it. What are you believing? What are you trusting? He said the only thing that can set you free is the truth. He said, in my true disciples, he said, when the sudden storms rise up, he said, they'll refuse any other doctrine. And it's strange, beloved, that whenever your storm starts raging, that there are other people that are coming to you, and everybody got a solution.
Yeah, Brother Joe. Yeah.
Everybody want to tell you what you need to do.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a doctrine. Trust me, I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong. Trust me, I only have your best interest at heart. Trust me, I just work for me. Trust me. No, but God says rebuke every other doctrine. Rebuke every other voice. Mine is the only doctrine that you need to adhere to. And if you're my disciple, that's what you'll do. He said the first thing that he did was rebuke the winds. He rebuked the winds. Now watch this. Then now he said, and then he rebuked the sea. Watch this, beloved. He says he rebuked the sea. Well, why did he rebuke the sea? The sea ain't done nothing. It's the wind that caused the sea to rise up. It's the wind now that caused the waves to come out of the sea. The wind, the sea ain't done nothing. Yes, the sea did, because the sea now allowed for that doctrine. Yeah, because it's the energy from the winds that have created the waves. Okay. All right. Now, what did the Bible say? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By the word of God. And this word here is rhema. That the worlds were formed by the rhema of God. Yeah? And then he goes on to say, so that there is not anything that is seen which was made by anything which does appear. Wow. See, the wind represents that which you can't see. But the waves represents that which you can see. But you have to understand that the thing that you're looking at was not created by anything that does appear. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had. See, you see your situation, but you have to understand that it's the way that you think, the things that you accept, the things that you believe, the things that you allow that's got you being tossed to and fro. It's not the waves. It's the energy from the wind that you can't see. Yeah, it's not the problem that you can see. It's all those things that you can't see. You can't see that false doctrine. You can't see that spirit of error. You can't see that spirit of deception. You can't see that spirit of those people who are just using you. I wish I had somebody. You can't see that spirit of those people who are praying on you. They ain't praying for you. They praying on you. And because the waves are raging so high over your little ship, you can't see them. Yeah. Yeah. It said it's the wind that's providing the energy for your ways. Yeah. You ever seen people who it seems like they always got some drama going on? Always drama. Right. Yeah. It's because of the things that they allow. Yeah. 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 It's the doctrine, the things that you believe in, the things that you trust in. That's the reason for the drama in your life. Always drama. And because of those are the things that you allow in your life, those are the people you accept in your life, and those are the people that are drawn to you. They bring the drama. Yeah. Rebuke the winds. Rebuke the things that cannot be seen. Stop being tossed to and fro. Be mature about it. Trust God. And watch what he said. He said he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the sea. And there was a great calm. Okay? See, if there's a great storm, there has to be a great calm. See? And the storm, the calm might not be as great as you think it to be. But just the fact that the storms have stopped raging. To me, that's a great calm. Just the fact that I can lay down and sleep tonight. And I ain't got to worry about the things that happened to me today. Just because I can lay down and rest. Just because there is a peace. And this word calm means a quiet peace. It means a quiet rest. It is that place where we arrive as true disciples. Where the enemy can see our ways still. But those waves are not affecting me anymore. In fact, I can stand in the midst of the waves, in the midst of the storm, and have peace. Why? Because what I see is not what I'm believing. Because I'm trusting in the things I can't see. That's why the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things you expect, that's what faith is. The evidence of the things not seen, that's what faith is. And so faith now declares those things that cannot be seen. I don't care what everybody else sees. Everybody else sees the waves raging around me. And they look at me and say, you must be. You have to be. You're going to lose your mind. But God tells me, rest. 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 It's a great calm. Now watch what happened. He says, and then he said, but they marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. What was the reason for the great calm? The reason for the great calm is the winds obeyed him. I wish I had somebody. The winds obeyed him. What you have to understand is those winds don't have any authority over him. See, that's why scripture said you're either now subject now to the Spirit of God or you're subject to the prince of darkness in this world. And so he says now, but it doesn't matter. He says when God speaks to it, it has to obey. It has to obey. The wind's raging in your life, God's going to speak to it and it has to obey. If the sea is responding to the wind, God speaks to the sea and it has to obey. See, that's what he says here. He said the key to a restful peace, the key to a quiet rest, the key to a sweet slumber every single night for the believer is staying in obedience to God. I'm trusting God. I don't care what it looks like, I'm trusting God. I don't care what people think, I'm trusting God. I don't care how powerful the winds are. I'm trusting God because there is no power greater than my God. No authority greater than my God. So I'm going to trust God and I'm going to get in the boat and I'm going to the other side.